For 2,000 years, this planet has been free. For 2,000 years, this planet has been righteous. For 2,000 years, this planet has been holy. For 2,000 years, in the eyes of God, this planet has been without fault and without blame. In the eyes of God, the only thing that's missing is knowledge. The most powerful thing that has happened in my life is the things that I cannot explain, I just simply leave them where they are. Because you see, the unexplainable doesn't mean there is no explanation. It just means I don't know it.
Webcasting to the world.
Do you remember the moment that you saw yourself in God and God in you, and you were one with the universe and God and everybody?
Knowing the truth about the gospel.
You were one with the prostitutes and pimps and priests and kings, and there was nobody on earth that was better than you nor less than you.
That we are all righteous.
And no one on earth was any less in Christ than anyone else.
That's Mike Williams, and this is the Gospel Revolution.
Welcome to the Gospel Revolution Powercast for the 2nd of May 2013, coming to you from the Gospel Revolution Studios right here in Nashville, Tennessee. And here from the GR headquarters in Houston, Texas, please welcome the founder and president of the Gospel Revolution, Mr. Michael Williams.
Good morning, Barris.
Hey,
and of all of the words that you Aussieize, you choose the word here to enunciate in English.
I chose the word here.
Yeah.
To enunciate in American. Like, we gave you a perfectly good language, and look what you all did with it. Hey, how the heck are you, mate?
I'm wonderful. I had a good night's sleep. That's always a nice thing. And even though this is Thursday evening, the sun is coming up very beautifully here in Houston.
I was struck by that very same thing. I'm looking out here at 9 o'clock on a Thursday night, watching the mockingbirds eating at my bird feeder. Yeah.
We are the worst fakes in the world. We're just very bad at it.
Why can't we make more money? That's what I want to know. Hey, you're looking resplendent in your Swami orange there this morning. Do you want me to call you Guru, Enlightened Master, anything?
Well, actually, it's red, first off. I mean, if you're going to learn anything, you have to learn to take correction.
This is radio. Okay, then. I am so corrected. Thank you, Master.
Yeah, so... well, thank you, Barris. You look quite splendid yourself.
So, with a flick of my hair and a turn of my head, may I encourage you to listen to the rest of this, whatever it turns out to be today.
Did you get a crick in your neck?
So, stick around where we're going to have some fun, and who knows what's going to happen today. But thought of the day for today is from Kim Harvey, who posted on Facebook this morning. Statement by Karen Moaning, and it says, "The most confused we ever get is when we try to convince our heads of something our hearts know is a lie."
The new day dawning, it's the sun inside.
Who let the dogs out?
Georgia, Georgia, the whole day through. Just an old sweet song keeps Georgia on my mind. Georgia on my mind.
I am very excited. I am going to Gainesville, Georgia. And that first meeting there will be on the 15th of May.
17th.
Excuse me?
You need correction. 17th. You need to be able to accept correction.
17.
17, 18, 19.
Well, this is going to be fitting.
Really? Fitting,
yeah,
fitting a mate?
If you're going to correct me correctly.
I like the way this is going today. I got no idea whether it'll make sense, but anyway.
15th, okay?
Yes, sir.
Any way you want to say it, but just don't change the dates on me.
15th of May, right?
Yes.
A Wednesday.
No.
Are you sure you don't want to get a calendar out?
Well, if it's wrong, it's Jeff's fault because he told me the 15th.
I like it when Jeff's not on the show. We can do anything we like.
Well, he messed up again.
Oh, well,
I know. Well, this is so. Yeah, let's. I'm going to be there on the 17th. 17th of May, and that will start at 7 o'clock in the evening. And then on Saturday, there's two sessions, maybe three. I don't know. And then on Sunday, there is a session, and then I fly back home. So I'm looking forward to being there on the 17th. Yes.
Wow. Okay. Now we're going to try.
I was looking so forward to it. I may get there on the 15th.
Yeah. That's the way a real swami would do it, mate. A real orange clad guru would get there early and sense the spiritual atmosphere. To be able to impart the great wisdom and truth that the followers need.
This is true.
Now, sorry.
And then, of course, we're going to be in Palm Springs beginning on the 31st, actually, which will be on a Friday night, and then the 1st and the 2nd of June. I sent an email to my friend Mike Matzey, who's out in near Banning, just outside of Palm Springs. And so he asked me what the dates were, and I told him that we would be there the 31st of May and the 1st and 2nd of April.
Yeah, this is catching.
I don't know what it is. Oh, my goodness.
I'm just going to check my own calendar here. 31st. Yep, that seems to be the last day that May's going to give us.
Yes, and now see what this does. This causes everybody to go behind you and check everything that you do, because once you mess up once, it's all it takes. And then suddenly you're suspect of being wrong about everything.
Now, is that the last conference this year, mate?
No, it isn't. We do this one in Palm Springs. Actually, it's in Palm Desert for those that want to know locale just a little bit better. Then in July, we have the conference in Canada, which is down around the last of July. I don't have those dates in front of me. But looking forward to that one. The conference there is going to be called The Mystery of Faith. Last summer, we did The Mystery of Unbelief, so this summer we're doing The Mystery of Faith. And the conference in Gainesville, Georgia, is going to be entitled The Redemption of the World. And boy, has my mind been swirling around this subject. I am really, really excited about getting this done. There's a lot of updating that needs to be done to this series and to this teaching on the redemption of the world. So, we've got some good times coming up for spring and summer for the gospel revolution.
And we haven't even started to talk about our fall plans.
If we're going to talk about fall plans, we're going to have to talk to Jeff because I don't know what I'm doing.
I reckon we need you down here in Nashville, mate. We better get you down here, I think. We're just going to sort
that
one.
That would be a lot of fun. I would enjoy that because if I come back to Nashville, guess what?
Yeah?
I get to see Laura.
Tell Laura.
I love her.
Yes, and that was a Gospel Revolution orphan choir coming to you today on the auspices of, two mad men.
Keeps Georgia on my mind. Always be Georgia.
What was the most interesting thing that happened to you this week, buddy?
Well, honesty is my policy, so
something has to be because accuracy ain't.
Well, accuracy is my policy, but whether or not I accomplish it is another thing altogether.
Go ahead. Just blame Jeff again. He's going to love you all the more for it. I just know it.
He's always at fault. That doesn't make any – even if I don't blame it, it's his fault.
Oh, yeah. Something about whipping boys and songs. Anyway, so what did happen this week, bud?
Well, I caught a documentary, a video, and it really was quite amazing. It very oddly came on the heels of all of our discussion about the mystics and looking into parking space spirituality. And this particular documentary, the title of the documentary, let me whistle once and try to say this again. The title of the documentary.
Oh, so very well said. Would you say that again, please, sir?
No. The title of the documentary was Kumari, K-U-M-E-R-A, I believe. Is that correct?
A-R-I. But you take corrections so well. K-U-M-A-R-I, Kumari.
Yes, that's what I said.
What have you been drinking today, mate?
I said A.
Whatever you're on, I want some of it.
An Aussie that can't even hear an A. Oh, my gosh. Yes, Kumari. And it was stunning, enlightening. It was sad. It was all of that and so much more that I've yet to really sort out. So, yeah, that was the most interesting thing that happened to me this week. I'm sure there were other very interesting things, like the laundry and taking out the trash.
Getting your dates right.
Oh, my goodness. I've not had any dates.
It's really going to be a mad day today. I can see that.
Now you're going to start rumors.
I prophesy. Here and now, I prophesy. It's going to be a mad day. Well, we're going to look at that later in this show. I'm going to ask you more about that because that sounds kind of intriguing. And I should come clean in as much as a couple of us watched this with you, and everything you said was almost an understatement to what I felt. This movie, this documentary, has to be. Well, it's something of an expose, and I could not help, as I was watching it, but think everybody on the face of the earth is looking for an answer, and sometimes they're ready to grasp it wherever they find it, aren't they?
Yes, and more and more I am becoming aware that the reason that we are reaching outward so desperately grasping for parking space spirituality is because we don't know who we are. And when you don't know who you are, there's two main things that take place, Barris. When you don't know who you are, number one is that you feel guilty about everything that you do. You feel unworthy. There is just a sense of unworthiness and guilt associated with unworthiness and all of the cascade of things that come along with a sense of unworthiness.
Not to mention uncertainty.
Oh, uncertainty. Yes, and we could get out our dictionary of uns and just go down the list. You know, you're just about un everything. This search for parking space spirituality, this external spirituality, I really do believe is born out of not knowing who we are internally. And of course, again, one of the first elements of that that comes is this unworthiness. I'm just not worthy. Now, the second thing, let me go ahead and say before we get into this, so write that one down just in case you forget it, Barris. Unworthiness is the first one. U-N, not A-N.
The next.
Now, I see it's not A-N, it's U-N.
Oh, dear. Okay, unworthiness. I've got it in big letters, so I can't miss it now.
All right. So unworthiness is, I think, is the number one thing, and this is all will relate back totally to the gospel, as things seem to always do around this place. The other sense is a sense of superiority. So it's one of the two, it seems, that there is this missing of the middle. And out of that sense of superiority, because you're measuring yourself against other people to find a sense of identity, then comes this feeling and this sense that you have a measure of grace that others do not have, that you are favored in a way. Now, the reason the superiority there, though, is really rooted back in the sense of unworthiness, oddly.
Everything you're saying is touching on identity.
It really is. It's all identity. And outside of identity, you can become any type of religious person that you want. Because, as you said, they are painfully, excruciatingly, all the same. The colors may be different. The chant may be different. The mantra may be different. But it's all the same stuff. It's all identifying that we are spiritual based on things happening or not happening. Now, one of the things that is dealt with in this documentary, it's the book called The Secret and The Law of Attraction, which I've always had a real problem with. You know, there's a, believe it or not, Barris, there are a lot of things that I just keep my mouth shut about until the time that I feel a little bit more confident about, you know, making some type of statement about it. But I remember when this all first started coming out. I know that it came out long before Oprah got a hold of it, but she was the one who propelled the book, The Secret, The Law of Attraction, into mainstream. And when I heard it, the only thing it was to me was the word faith movement, just in another package. But the more that I listened to it, I was actually pleased that I didn't have any comments about it. And sometime later, I think within a year or so after Oprah had so enthusiastically endorsed The Secret and all components of it, she actually recanted and she came back on a show and she said while she did believe in the positive nature of the law of attraction, she said there are elements of this that are
not being explained, that it's being taken way too simplistically. So when I heard that, I realized that even the greatest proponent of it at the time was expressing doubts about this whole law of attraction. I stopped and I thought, now why in the world would a woman like Oprah Winfrey buy into this law of attraction, which everybody knows it is not a law of attraction, because not everything that you think on happens. It just doesn't. Now, I don't care if it is on your board on a picture.
Now, describe what this is, essentially it's a little bit like the word of faith, blab it and grab it kind of concept, where if you concentrate and focus on something and you'll get it, or it will be drawn to you. Have I got that essentially right?
Yes, and the universe will bring it to you. So it's not God. God forbid we mention God in the concept. We are spiritual. We are so spiritual that we don't mention God. So, this stuff is just beginning to cause my brain to swell or something. I'm trying to take in this information and trying to look at this in view of the gospel. Now, I make no apologies for being a gospel man. I come from standpoint of the gospel, and you must understand that all things that I view spiritual are viewed through the prism of the gospel. And the gospel being established by the scriptures, the scripture being fulfilled through the virgin birth of Christ, the life, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of this one man. That is the prism that I see all spirituality through. It doesn't get any more complicated than that for me. So this has been something that I've been dwelling on for a lot of years. You can go back and look and see, when Oprah did her book on, or did her series of shows on the book, The Secret and the Law of Attraction. It's been simmering there all of this time. But I thought to myself, why would a woman like Oprah Winfrey? I mean, she is a self-made billionaire. Why would she feel that there had to be some spiritual power working on her behalf and in her favor for her to be so successful? I think probably one of the most puzzling things for Oprah Winfrey, and I say this as an Oprah fan, I think the woman is amazing. I love her to bits. She has accomplished things that other human beings could never do, much less a woman in our society and a black woman in our society and a overweight black woman in our society. So
you just lost everyone right there.
I know. I really did. I did. But these are the odds that in our society she has had to face to do what she does. And she has done this before the camera, where that all of these things at the time of her rise were negatives. These were not things that were in her favor. I think the biggest question that Oprah has had in her mind is why? Why me? Why is the only question that blinds the eye?
What do you actually mean by that, Mike?
When we have to know why outside of obvious circumstances and events that we do well, or why outside of obvious circumstances and events, which may be identifiable and sometimes we can't identify them. When we have to know why outside of that parameter, blindness to the obvious sets in. So all of these years, this whole issue of external spirituality has been so intriguing to me. I was so bound by it. What did I do to deserve being gay? Well, what did I do to deserve all of the grief and the sorrow that went along with that? all in direct correlation to the fact that I love Jesus with all my heart. I mean, Jesus had died because I was gay. So my goal in life was to stop being gay. And since I could not accomplish that, that led to 3 attempts of suicide and 6 terms in mental institutions. Why blinded me completely? Why? I needed to know what I had done, what my parents had done, what had somebody done to determine that I would be gay. These things are paralyzing. They're not helpful. They're paralyzing.
We're going to tie this back to Oprah and why me?
Yes.
Okay.
So my whole issue was being gay. And here was this whole negative thing of why did this happen? I could go on to any blog and there would be hundreds of answers that would reply. To think that I might get an accurate answer out of the mess, especially on any type of spiritual blog, it's just not going to happen. So as I was watching this, I was asking myself, why would Oprah buy into this? Well, and this is why I was bringing in this whole issue of sexuality, is that the thing that Oprah still can barely speak about without weeping is that she was molested as a child by a family member. The reality that she was a poor black woman, overweight, who had this self-loathing about her that should have prevented her from accomplishing much of anything in her life, as it seems to do in a lot of people's lives. But Oprah needed to know what outside of herself made her successful. And let me tell you something. I've got news for the world in this subject and for Oprah too. Oprah made Oprah successful. Oprah reached on the inside of her. This is the power of this gospel. Oprah reached past the guilt. She reached past the shame. She reached past that. On the inside of each and every person is the kingdom of God. It is that which is within. We have the indwelling of God himself in each and every human being. And through the maze of what is us and our personalities and our experiences and our ethnic background, our size, our education, regardless of all of that, there is something profound inside each human being, Barris. And I believe it's the kingdom of God.
Now, what I'm hearing you say about Oprah is that she didn't so much attract all of those things that were good as much as those things that were good attracted her.
Yes, I think that's a good way of putting it. And they attracted her to the point of motivating her to reach for those things. Those things didn't reach for her. Oprah reached for those things. But you see, when a person who does not know that they are one with God, one with each other, that we are righteous and holy and perfect, it's difficult to accept success. Success is something that has to be explained in some spiritual terms because God knows I don't deserve this. So when we succeed as people who have no sense of identity, then we must attribute some external force for having accomplished this for us. Now, I don't deny that it would be a force, but you see, it's not an external force, it's an internal force. But it is an internal force that all of us have access to.
So you're saying that in Oprah's case, what was inside her core, kingdom of God, godness, whatever you want to call it, what was at her core said, I want this, and she reached out and achieved
yes,
it.
Yes, okay. And she achieved it. But you see, because of the lack of identity and a knowing of who you are, one cannot accept that degree of success because you just don't deserve it. You know you don't deserve it. You know you are an overweight black girl that was molested. You were a throwaway and nobody wanted you. And through that maze, for those of us who had such unworthiness brought into our lives, we can't accept success. If I do, I'm going to have to believe that it is some form of favor, that God has smiled on me, that there is a supernatural force that has done this. There is something beyond me and outside of me that has accomplished this. Because I know, God knows, you know, I don't deserve such success. So why begins to set in? Why blinds the eye? When it comes to truth, I'll ask why the rest of the days of my life. I want to know and understand truth. But when it comes to trying to understand why things happen, if it goes outside of the scope of that which is logical, you need to give it up. You need to just walk off from it. The most powerful thing that has happened in my life is the things that I cannot explain. I just simply leave them where they are. Because you see, the unexplainable doesn't mean there is no explanation. It just means I don't know it. You see, a person could have a series of very difficult things happen to them. You know, it's not outside the scope of possibility that an individual may be doing things to try to cause life to be difficult for you. I know it's terribly sinister, and I'm not suggesting that somebody is trying to make my life bad for me.
True, but only the paranoid survive.
And this whole realm to me is very intriguing, and it seems we're being dragged into it. But I think that at the very essence of this, Barris, really is the power of God. It really is the kingdom of God. It really is the gospel. The gospel that, ironically, according to Paul's teaching, doesn't really add anything to your life. Paul didn't teach what all the gospel adds to your life. Paul did teach us what all the cross added to our lives. What the death, the burial, the resurrection added to our lives. And he goes into the greatest of detail and with the greatest of skill to explain what the cross, the death, burial, and resurrection has added to our lives, which is nothing short of God in us. That is the only story I know that in any way changes life. And it changed life 2,000 years ago. But the two things, ironically, that the gospel removes out of the equation of the mind, of the psyche, of the individual, this story of the gospel has the power to remove guilt and condemnation. It has the ability to remove judgment out of our hearts. So it takes away guilt and it takes away judgment. In the issue of this terrible deficit of identity, the two things that the gospel removes is the two things that is keeping us from finding our identity. I finished my statement right when you took a drink of water. So.
Can I get an amen?
Gospel Revolution.
Okay. I'm going to take us back to the movie, if that's okay.
Yes, let's do.
Okay. Now, this movie, Kumari... firstly, I'd like to say on this PowerCast that I was... I want to just say publicly I was... It's not spelled K-U-M-A-R-I at all. It's spelt apparently the way you said it, Michael. I was K-U-M-A-R-E. Let me just read you what Netflix praises the movie as. It says, it's a sobering documentary about spirituality and the power of suggestion as the filmmaker poses as a prophet and develops a following in America. Since this PowerCast was recorded, we've tracked down a website where you can see this movie. And it is www.religionsucks.com. Religion, R-E-L-I-G-I-O-N-S-U-X. Religionsucks.com. And there they've got both these mystic movies, actually, as it turns out. So happy watching. This would be the single most interesting, intriguing, and astounding to some degree expose that I've watched, Michael, because as I was watching it, I realized that people were so desperate. I was put in mind of the old saying, give us a devil or give us an angel, just give us a leader.
Yeah, yeah.
And there is absolutely nothing that I saw in this movie that was any different than what I'd seen in Christianity a lot of the time. The names were changed. The rituals were changed. The effects were changed. But essentially, the way that he went about doing what he did, I've seen it done time and time and time again in Christianity.
Yeah, and I've done it. I mean, it's not like that I've been a bystander and observer of this. I've done it. I didn't know what I was doing. I was mimicking what I was taught. These are not answers about identity that these people have. These are answers about why. Why is your son sick? Why is your life devastated? Why are you successful? And how can you become successful?
How can you formulate this?
Yes. How can you actually put this into a practice? I was first interested in it because of desperation for my own life, for my own sanity. But now it is more, not exclusively, but more. When I see people, just like I saw in this documentary, my heart breaks. I go to the grocery store sometimes and my heart breaks. I see people walking around like zombies and everyone lost in a world of why. So what does why impose on us? I suppose we have to look at first. Why really puts a paralysis on us. Some of my closest friends sabotage their own success more than anybody. I mean, it just seems as though they get to a point where that they are just almost about to become radically successful, and they will sabotage that completely themselves. You talk about practical application. I think this is the ultimate of practical application. So what would it do? It would remove sabotaging oneself of their own success because of that deep-seated feeling of unworthiness on the inside. You know, there's not a ton of reasons as to why someone would sabotage their own success other than just unworthiness. So if it removed that and that only, life for all of us would be different. I don't deal with why anymore. And the obstacles that removes from me mentally and emotionally because why is gone is nothing short of the power of God for my life.
Are you saying that gives you more time to do other stuff?
It frees up my mind to do other stuff.
So it's not that it gives you more time to do other stuff. It gives you the actual tools to be able to do other stuff, or it frees you to even be able to think about doing other stuff. Am I
getting it? Yes, I wouldn't even say that it gives you tools. I don't think the gospel gives you tools. I think you've got the tools. It frees you to use what you've got. And you say, well, what have I got? Well, I don't know what you got. I mean, the one thing that I do know that you have is equality with God himself, righteousness, holiness, perfection. please don't underestimate these terms for the human mind, for the sanity and stability of the soul of the human being. This is what the gospel does. Freedom. Freedom is still the most basic driving force, I think, in the human heart. Because all of these people, whether they are Muslims, whether they are Buddhists, whether they are Christians or atheists or who they are, freedom is the cry of the heart. Now, how can there be freedom when we are looking externally to something that is greater than us, that's in control of us?
Say that again. How can we? That just hit me hard.
Yes.
Somebody's struggling with a habit. Somebody's disenchanted and they knew something was missing. They've got everything to be happy about, but still they're not happy. Oh God, let their hearts pant for you. Let the joy of this be a witness to them. If you feel the Holy Spirit touching you, maybe you're backslidden or you're not saved, just raise your hand. Bishop, the Lord is speaking to me. Tired of sin and I want to be free. I'm thirsting, I'm homesick. Come on, yeah, you, that's right. And you, put your hand up, I'm homesick. I need to get back with God and get on. I want that joy, I miss it, that's right. Put the hand up, I know the devil doesn't want you to do it. He's whispering in your other ear, but the devil is a liar. Raise your hand. You're missing God, he's missing you. Your house isn't going to be right until you get Jesus in it. Come on now.
How can we be free when something else is in control of us? That's not freedom. I would rather suffer the consequences of my own decisions than to surrender my life to the will of another.
In religion, wasn't that what we were doing?
We were trying to surrender ourselves to the will of God. And here's where it comes to, Barris, is this conflict of messages. One message you hear, submit to the will of God. You got to give up. You got to give yourself up. You've got to be willing to surrender all that you think, all that you love, all that you are, even your family. You got to be willing to give it all up.
Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee.
Yes. And then the next Sunday, you'll hear the sermon on how unique and uniquely God has created you, and that you are an individual with individual dreams and goals, that there is no one like you on this earth, and your individuality and your uniqueness should be expressed. Now, this is the very same pulpit saying one Sunday one thing, and then the next Sunday the absolute opposite. The thing that this documentary brings out, Barris, is that the people who seek, these are fine people, the people who lead can be the most devious, deceitful, crooked people on the face of the earth, who are looking to take advantage of the heartfelt desperation of other people.
All things are possible to him that believeth.
And only those who have been giving to God's work will be spared.
Hallelujah. Yes. Yes. Thank
you. Now I'm going to ask all the ushers to stand and pass the envelopes to everybody here. Now you can make checks payable, of course, to Benny Hinn Ministries. If you're using your credit cards, make sure to put your name, your account number, your expiration date, and sign what it says, signature.
The people we honor are many times the people who deserve the least of the respect that has been afforded to them. the people who seem to have the answers for our life. You now, I know there's people listening and saying, "Well, Mike Williams, you're one of those. You are one of these people who are offering people answers for their life." Wrong. I conspicuously offer no answers for anybody's life. What the gospel offers is freedom. And the thing that is surprising to people is that I really don't have any answers. I've got the gospel. You say, well, so what? You know, there's just another doctrine. Well, it's not a doctrine. It's freedom. You can call it whatever you want, but if it brings the reality of freedom to the mind and causes you to know who you are and breaks the addiction of turning to others, the greatest counselor that you have on earth is yourself.
Well, hang on. I want to sing you a chorus that I learned in Sunday school, and I want to tell you how that fits in with what you just said.
And the
chorus goes, I will ask Jesus to help me to keep my heart from sin, ever reflecting his goodness and always shine for him. A sunbeam. Jesus wants me for a sunbeam. Everyone together now. A sunbeam. Surely I need Jesus' help to be a sunbeam and to keep my heart from sin. I mean, this is what we teach our 4 and 5 and 3 year olds, along with the last verse of Jesus Loves Me, which says, if I love him when I die, he will take me home on high.
Everything opposite to freedom in that could possibly be. These little songs and statements are robbers of the soul. Whether by intent or default, what that does, Barris, is leave someone else in charge of our lives. We need a guru. We need a shaman. We need a priest. We need a pastor. We need someone else to instruct us.
Enter Kumari.
Yes.
let's have a look at how he... Can we do this just for a minute, just to see how he proceeded in this documentary?
Yeah, and let me say, as we do this, I highly recommend this. I almost wish someone could have prepared me to watch this. I have not watched anything so suspenseful, drama-packed, and it's all unfolding. You talk about a reality TV show. This guy had no clue where this was going when he started his investigation into this. And his fake life. And to watch this as it goes through is really quite amazing. By whatever means, I recommend that people do get this.
It's a movie that was made in 2011, and it's called Kumari.
Yes. When Jeff came to work for the ministry, the one thing that I was very adamant about, and I was hoping that it would certainly make Jeff's job easier, is... And it sounds odd. It just sounds odd that Mike Williams Ministries offers no counseling services. Won't counsel. I don't counsel anybody. Now, what we do offer is all the discussion about the gospel and the reality of the gospel that you want. Now, let me tell you why I have a difficult time even with counseling. because I do believe the greatest counselor you have is within you. Enter Kumari. and this has been this why one of the reasons that this documentary was so shocking is shocking on so many levels. You just have to watch it yourself. I can't explain it. And neither can Barris, and he's way better explaining things than I am. the goal really should be to cause a person to find their own answers, for their own life from within themselves. When we offer counseling to explain how to do things, why to do things. Now, these are things that anybody can reach out to understand if that's what they want. But counseling, I don't want to put a blanket statement on this because I know there's many things that people need. But the fact of it is that I really do believe everything you need is on the inside of you. Barris, I really believe that.
The kingdom of God is within you?
I believe that, yes. I think the greatest counselor in the world is me. But it's only for me.
Okay, let me read you some comments that I think that you might be overlooking, my friend. On our Facebook page, we had somebody just yesterday, I think they were, and our good friend Jackie Barnard said, let me see if I can find it. God puts his wisdom in every person. The good news that God is not angry and all have been righteous releases that wisdom. Works for me. And he got a comment back saying, trust your heart? You've got to be joking. The heart's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Now, I'm actually rewording this because I can't find the precise comments, but this was a conversation that was going on.
And this is the battle. See, this is the very thing. I begin to realize, Barris, that if we are in a battle, if you put it in that scope and that those terms, this is the battle. It is the battle between spirituality that is within, wisdom that is within, righteousness, holiness, perfection, God. The kingdom of God, heaven, is all within, as opposed to the onslaught, the tidal wave, the tsunami that has hit this planet of external spirituality on every level, from Christianity, which evaluates virtually all of your spiritual value on your works. Start there and we can go all the way through. Buddhism, which claims to not do that, yet based on how you do in this life, you're going to be redoing this on some other level to do it better the next time.
Well, let me just zero in on something you said a moment ago. It seems to me that if the kingdom of God's within me and it's not without of me, outside of me, I'm not now reaching outside myself to get it into me. I'm actually, it's in me, and now my curiosity is how to get it out of me rather than in.
You know, when it's outside, let me tell you what sets in. Desperation. And feelings of desperation will take you to places that you do not want to go. I don't care what it is. Desperate is not a good catalyst for a good result. And you see, when we have this hunger for freedom, and we begin to search outside of ourselves, it is grabbing the air. It is futility. It is struggle.
And in my experience, when I thought my hand was on it and my fist closed around it, it was like smoke in my fist.
Oh, yes. And then we talk about that day as though it was real for the rest of our lives.
And what can you and I do as people who lead a congregation and we find somebody who's desperate? What would somebody who didn't have any principles, what would they do with that person?
Well, this is the dastardly part of it, is that the person who has given up on freedom, these are the most desperate people of this earth, are the leaders. They've given up on freedom to the point where they're taking advantage of the desperation for freedom. And their survival is like leeches.
Only those who have been giving to God's work will be spared.
Hallelujah.
And this is how they survive. I would love to break through this desperation and this grasping, because we've both been there, Barris, and it doesn't make any difference whether it's Christianity or Buddhism or mysticism or any other thing on the face of this earth. I have equal displeasure for it all. I so want to see people free from all of this external spirituality. This desperation, I mean, when you describe the reaching out and grabbing, you saw the smoke and you grab it and it's gone. This is the desperation that I want to help people not ever experience again in their lives. The gospel offers something nothing on this planet does.
When you're feeling down or you got the case of the blues, why don't you listen to the
Gospel Revolution?
Now, the funniest thing in this movie that I saw was when someone takes Kamari to a meeting of people who are following the secret, and they all have their vision boards, and they've all got the pictures of the money and the car and the pink poodle and all of that stuff on there and the Cadillac, and he brings along a whole bunch of faces on his vision board, and he says, "Oh, my vision board is with all these people." And then he takes his lips that are smiling from other pictures and slaps them on these people. And they are smiling because they are seeing the truth in me. And you look at the guy who's leading the group and you say, talk about perplexed. What was he going to say except smile and do the little mantra?
Yes.
So he goes to Arizona. This is a New Jersey boy who goes to Arizona and gets some devotees to see that he is not, there is no, what struck me, there is no guile in him, really, except the guile of trying to see if this thing worked. And he told them all the way through, "I'm an illusion. I'm a fake."
Yeah.
And yet they still found, and he only gave them one message: it's inside you.
That's exactly right.
And they mostly all found something. There was a lady there who took 70 pounds off and kept it off.
Yes.
And another lady who said, "Well, you taught me this this particular mantra, and it works for our people, and they have peace through it, so I'm going to keep using it." And when he finally let them know that he was not the guru they thought he was, they...
As he had told them all the way through the movie, he wasn't.
They still retained that which they had found inside themselves. Extraordinary, yes. Isn't it, Michael?
Yes, it is extraordinary. You know, the guy who was running the whole Law of Attraction meeting there in Phoenix. Now, if I had to guess, I would say the guy was at a minimum of 100 pounds overweight. Would I be exaggerating? Or
no.
All right. So I would say it was probably 100 pounds overweight. So if you draw to you what you think about, I know what he's thinking about all the time.
Would you say the same for, I don't know, T.D. Jakes or John Hagee?
Yes. Jim Richards, a former colleague of mine who has had his conflicts with me and has done a video explicitly about me, he and one of his co-pastors, both who used to be friends and colleagues of mine in days gone by, was recently in Canada. And one of my friends attended Jim Richards' meeting there, and his sister had started going and was just raving about Jim's teaching and how wonderful it was, and please come and listen. And so my friend went to listen.
He's a supporter of the gospel revolution, in fact, but very open-minded. I mean, very intelligent man, and went and has listened to Jim in the past when Jim and I went to Canada and spoke together and did a convention there, packed out a convention center a couple of decades ago. So he went to hear Jim again after all these years, and Jim's entire time that he was there was talking about politics, number one. It was all politics. And the other part, he said, was that Jim made this statement. Now get this. Everything that is happening in your life today, you either wanted it to happen or you're in agreement with it happening.
So the child is born a cerebral palsy child. What the?
Yeah. And a series of what thus, and the you stupid follows along behind that for me. Obviously, he's gotten into this law of attraction. This is not the gospel. There's no gospel in the law of attraction, but there is law of attraction in Christianity. The law of attraction takes Christianity and puts it on steroids.
Well, actually, in Christianity, it's either all law of attraction, or it's no law of attraction.
Yes.
Would that be fair?
I'd have to think about it, but we'll go with that. I can't think that fast, Barris. You can't do this to me.
Well, some people say you get what you say you get, and the other people say God gives me good, God gives me bad, it's all God, but it's not me trying to attract it, it's from outside myself, blah, 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 blah. So that's in that respect.
Okay, I get you. I can go there with you.
Oh, don't worry. I'll do the thinking for you, and I'll really take it slowly.
My God, finally, I have found you. I have found you, my guru.
Namaste.
So, Jim Richards, I mean, to make such an asinine comment, I want to go with Jim to St. Jude's Hospital. If you've got the audacity to say that you believe something, you ought to be able to say it in any environment. Especially, if it's the truth.
Especially to the parents of the children who are on chemotherapy. Yes. Yes. Yeah.
Yes. Now, and of course, now who do you blame here? Here's the child. So do you implore now the Christian age of accountability that all of this is happening to the child because of the parents' choices and wishes? Is this what you wanted to happen to your child? Is the child responsible? Do you see where that judgment comes in immediately if this is a truth? Because, you see, we are not islands unto ourselves. Everything that happens in my life affects those around me. It just does.
Judgment and guilt.
Yes, judgment and guilt. And if we were to sum up everything we've talked about here, the sum of it all is freedom from judgment and guilt. We are as free as we will ever be. Every person is born into this earth free. We are not born bound. We are not born under the law. We are not born in sin. We are born free. Through the power of the work of the cross, we are born free. We're not trying to get free. We're simply trying to learn about the freedom in which we have been set. We've been set in freedom. We've been conceived now in freedom. For 2,000 years, this planet has been free. For 2,000 years, this planet has been righteous. For 2,000 years, this planet has been holy. For 2,000 years, in the eyes of God, this planet has been without fault and without blame. In the eyes of God, the only thing that's missing is knowledge of that fact. It's called the power of God. It's called good news. But why is out there? Why is what keeps every church door open? Why is what keeps every guru in business? Why is what keeps every motivational speaker in a job? If this planet ever, ever hears the gospel and comes to the conclusion that Jackie Barnard has come to, there's going to be a lot of people out of work. It's not going to be good for the economy. Because you're not reaching out to someone else. People don't listen to me as a guru.
telling them what to do. They listen to me because I share the gospel with them, which causes them to know who they are and to reach within themselves to find the answers for this life. They're not looking to me for answers about life. They're just looking to me to share the gospel with them. People will see in watching this documentary, Kumare, the ending of which is an E. The ending which is an E.
Bah, humbug.
So, I have found the answers. Barris. I really have found peace. But I'm at peace with myself.
So we're asking the wrong questions half the time.
Yes. You see, when we're asking the questions of how to change things, that's the wrong question. Especially if we're seeking to how to change things based on some external force taking care of these things for us. This is bondage out the wazoo. Let me tell you. I've got to talk to you from my personal experience that this is tremendous bondage. I sought for this external force, trying to do something to change something. And then my first reality in the gospel is that nothing needed to change. I cannot tell you what happened to me when I understood the gospel to the point where that I knew I didn't have to change. Change was as much as was in my ability, change was an option, but have to? Oh my God, I don't have to change. I don't have to. I don't have to. Oh my God, I don't have to. Change is not something that is required on my part to have relationship and fellowship and righteousness with God Almighty. I don't have to change. There is no change on my part that is going to facilitate righteousness or acceptance with God. That what needed to change has changed, and it changed at the cross. So the fundamental question changed completely 2,000 years ago. And that is the understanding that we now have at our disposal. It's always been there. It has always been there. I felt the remorse that this guy felt because he realized the gravity and the implications of removing what seemed like people's only hope. I realize that the entire ministry of Mike Williams' ministry in the gospel revolution is the great disillusionment. I remember hearing the term disillusioned when I was a young man, and I just thought it was a horrible word. It's so terrible to be disillusioned. And it was a word that meant all my hopes were dashed to pieces, that all of my dreams were not going to be realized. My disappointments were real now. I had been disillusioned. But if you take the term, actually, illusion is something in the first place that's not real. And I began to realize that to be disillusioned is a very powerful, wonderful thing to happen, though painful. It is painful.
Inevitably painful.
It is. But when I finally realized that to be disillusioned was probably the most powerful thing that could happen to a human being. That is what this ministry is all about. It's all about disillusionment. And it is not a pleasant process. Reality, though, is such a wonderful place to live. Logic. Oh, my God. Do you realize that it can all fit within the realm of logic? What? And it doesn't have to be beyond belief or beyond chance.
Two words that I found well and truly overused in my Christian days were mystery and faith. If I had faith, I didn't need logic. And anything I couldn't explain, I could just say, God works in mysterious ways.
Oh, yeah. And very convenient. Very, very convenient, for sure. And then to validate your own doctrine, of course, I am the Lord God, I change not. So whatever your perception is never going to change, because God is who you say he is anyway. And therefore, we're locked in, forbidden to change our minds. This process, I'm not sure this heartfelt, power cast that we're doing here. And believe me, it is so very heartfelt, but, we are fumbling our way through trying to express, the state of the union, if you will, and, to try to place a context of understanding around this. But this is where this battle is. If there's a battle, this is where it is. It is for the difference between superficial. It's not just external spirituality. It's superficial spirituality. And let me tell you, the law of attraction, may I just say it, is the height of superficial spirituality. If you're going to have a law of attraction, attract good people to your life, you know.
Hey, did I tell you I went to Walmart yesterday? And yeah, and I attracted myself a parking space, and I'm pretty sure God was going before me.
Yeah, either that or they saw your driving coming into the parking lot and said, clear the way.
That's always a possibility, mate.
You see, there are all kinds of possibilities, and that only being one of them. We could come up with quite a few others. They may have looked up and saw, that is the most gorgeous man I've ever seen in my life. We must move out of his way and give him a parking space. There's all kinds of possibilities.
Hey, tell me, mate, your former wife, Miss Hazel, she's retired. How's she enjoying it?
Well, I think she's off with some friends today. I can't remember now. I do pay attention to her, but believe me when she's telling me she and the girls are going shopping in some city close by to Olney, Illinois, and they're spending the day. I know she's gone. That's probably the extent of it. But, yeah, she's enjoying this. This has been something I have been really, really looking forward to her doing, is to going into full retirement. And she's definitely enjoying it. She's we are in incurring the financial challenge of that, but we're gonna be fine. I know that's really kind of maybe strange for people to. I do not think of Hazel as my former wife or my ex-wife. I mean, she's the only wife I'm ever going to have had anyway. So,
well. That's, I'm playing by her rules here.
Yes.
Let's just listen to what Hazel says.
Uh-oh.
Now, you and Michael have been separated for some years now.
Yes.
And
we've been divorced for 10 years.
You've been divorced for 10 years. And he keeps telling me that you will not let him call you his ex-wife.
Right.
What do you insist on?
I can be your former wife. I am an ex nothing.
Whoa. See, there you got it, Mike. I'm playing by her rules here. I know who signs the checks here, you know what I mean?
Yes, we all do know that. Anyone who has dialed the office number even one time gets this stark revelation of who's in charge.
And so it is that we must leave you, folks. You know, I have come to truly appreciate all of our dedicated revolutionaries, some of whom never get to hear the show, but nevertheless faithfully support it. And in that respect, they're the real producers of this weekly PowerCast. Now, if you'd like to join them in increasing our coverage of this gospel of grace and peace, call our office at area code 352-569-4889 and speak to Jeffrey. If you would like to leave a message for the show, simply telephone us on 123-456-40971. Our web address is www.gospelrevolution.com, and you can catch us on Facebook at Friends of Mike Williams and the Gospel Revolution. Remember, no religionists were harmed in the making of this program, and all the gospel, all the time, is being broadcast from the servers running 24-7 thanks to our good friend Marcel Hoss in the Netherlands at gospelrevolution.radiostream123.com. And so it is good night from myself, Beres Bartlett, at the highly chromed and superbly outfitted steam-driven GR Studios in Nashville, Tennessee, and from the very humble, almost pedestrian GRHQ in Houston, Texas.
This is Michael Williams. And as we close out this, thank you guys so much. Love you very much. And to lay everyone's mind to rest, even though Beres mentioned the term surgery in two PowerCasts ago, he was being so eloquently metaphorical. Please know I have not had to go into surgery.
I went
to see my family.
I called it siblingual surgery, Michael. That is when siblings get to operate on you. And you brought back pictures of lying down on the top of a grave and with them with sharp objects in the hand, and you want to...
with sharp objects in hand. You sound like my sister. The stories grow and grow.
Evangelistically
speaking. So yes, we are healthy and well here in Houston, Texas. We love you guys so much. Your participation has been remarkable and excellent, and we love you to pieces. Thank you.
So remember to join us again next week, same time, same channel, where we will do the same thing all over again.
Whole lot better. It's got to be better than this.
Man, anything got to be better than this.
Level's looking good. Have no idea what we're going to talk about, so you're going to lead on in our dance today. You will lead us.
Well, I don't have a clue, but we can just continue talking, I suppose.
I guess so. Look.